You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I want to share with you some of the LinkedIn messages that I received in the last few hours. I got a message from someone who was offering to promote my brand. My brand, I'm not aware that I have a brand, on a Times Square billboard. Now, I used to work in the theater industry. I used to hang out in Times Square. I cannot imagine my brand being publicized in Times Square. All right, I got another one from someone who was asking if I'm open to looking at franchise ownership opportunities. I did that. I've been there. I'm not interested in going back. And here's the one that I like the most. I got one from somebody whose profile on LinkedIn talks all about fitness, right? They seem to be in the fitness business. And they were asking me if I have room on my roster for 5 to 7 new clients. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of these. I find them incredibly annoying. And that's exactly why we're not going to be talking about that today with Mary Henderson, who is joining me from Melbourne, Australia, and who knows a thing or two about LinkedIn. Mary, welcome.
Hi, David. I nearly choked myself then.
I noticed that, and I was saying, how can I extend this intro just a little bit longer to give her a moment to have some water?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm perfectly fine now. So thank you. I'm doing fine, and thank you for having me.
Indeed. Well, I want to start with those cold outreach messages, because I think that is one of the most annoying things that we experience. And it's not just LinkedIn, it's other platforms too, but it's somebody out there is teaching this as an approach. You're not.
Oh my God, absolutely not. And I think that there's a real misconception with LinkedIn. And that is that it's the platform where you can sell to people in their inbox and get a whole heap of leads and live happily ever after. And LinkedIn has changed completely just in the last 12 months. And so a lot of people, I think, are using third-party tools to do all of that heavy lifting, those AI type of tools, you know, that mimic, you know, a human, but really, you know, it's not a human. So I think that the messaging that people are using as the first point of contact is probably the worst thing to do, because it's LinkedIn, if it's not strategic and deliberate, will absolutely backfire on you.
Yes. Well, it backfires on pretty much anybody who reaches out to me with messages like that. Absolutely. So if that is not the approach, then I think we probably should spend the balance of our time talking about how to use a platform like LinkedIn. Now, we've chosen LinkedIn. I know that you are working on lots of different platforms and lots of different media with the work that you do and the things that you do on behalf of clients and teach clients. But this is an area that I know you know very, very well, because we're connected there. I follow you there. And I see the type of things that you are posting. You show up in my feed regularly. And I'd like to maybe start there, because from my perspective, at least, it's the logical place where somebody might initially connect with you. And you're doing some very specific, very intentional things that show up in my feed. And I wonder if you can talk through that a little bit first.
I just want to start off by saying, David, I think this is really important, that there's three parts to LinkedIn. The first part is your profile. The second part is the content you create. And the third part are the people you connect with, right? So they're three very distinct strategies, if you will, but they all work beautifully together, okay? So they have to all be done in unison. So when it comes to posting, that's what I would call my front-end strategy. And that's all about creating content that is very intentional, it's very strategic, it's very deliberate, and I'm only speaking to my target audience. That's it. I have no intention in speaking to 850 million people that are on LinkedIn. I'm only wanting to speak to the people that I know I can serve. And you can even see the language that I use, industry experts. You know, I'm very intentional. So I want people to read my post that can self-identify as an industry expert. The thing that we have to recognize about content creation today, especially on LinkedIn, is that there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of stuff that people just pushing, you know, from cats doing somersault to, you know, promoting their children to being on stage to, you know, talking about their area of expertise, book launches, you name it, you'll find it on LinkedIn. The key is, and the same applies to other platforms as well, but on LinkedIn, the key is, how do you actually stand out? And this is where I think a lot of people go wrong. They're trying to be a little bit of everything and they're just trying to grab whatever they can in that pose. Whereas for me, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in being very consistent with how I post and what I post. My brand is important, so how I show up is critical. And I'm not interested in the vanity metrics. What I'm interested in is who has entered my funnel. So anyone that's read my post, there's always a call to action on my post. And my goal is to get as many people into my funnel as I possibly can in that week, because that's really ultimately how I can only build my business. I can't build my business by promoting my children or even me being on stage. It means nothing to my target audience. My target audience are only interested in solving a problem today. So if my post matches what's in their mind today, I'm going to get attention. I'm going to get really, really great attention. The other thing that I've also noticed as well is that, and maybe you've noticed in my post, is I'm starting to get more into storytelling about my own personal story. But it's in context. It's in context, David. So I'm not sharing, you know, mushy stories that are going nowhere. I'm sharing stories that are in context with what it is that I do, because that makes a really big difference. I'm trying to pull my audience into my story so they can see themselves in my story.
Well, and I want to use one of those posts as an example, because there's more that you're doing here that we're going to get to in terms of color, in terms of the imagery, who the types of things you talk about, and maybe the emotional state of who you're connecting with. But as you connected with me with a post that you wrote a week or two ago about having vocal training, being a singer when you were younger. And I mentioned it a few minutes ago, you know, I was in the theater business, in Times Square, all of that. And so that connected with me. I imagine, and then the story leads elsewhere. It gets to a point that has nothing to do with where you started, but that was a connection point for me. And I wonder if you can sort of talk about how you're choosing the topics in those stories that you then lead to a logical place that then leads to the call to action.
I love that you asked me that question. And one of my mentors said to me, you know, Mary, you know, your greatest creativity will come out of your pain and your trauma. I never understood what that meant, David. I was really playing with that idea for a long, long, long time. And then it hit me, you know, and I thought, you know, I was raised with a serial narcissistic mother. So I had a lot of trauma, you know, that I just unfortunately had to encounter and live through and work through, you know, as an adult. But, you know, the other thing is that I look back now and, you know, and I think, wow, all that trauma, there's so many stories in that trauma. There's so many stories I could tell in that pain. And whenever I go back into that pain, they become my best posts. So I can tell the story through the pain. Even as I'm saying it to you, I've got goosebumps because I can immerse myself. I can take myself back to that place and tell the story. But the story, David, is 100% congruent with what I do today. Do you see what I'm saying? So I'm not telling you a story as clickbait. I'm actually telling you the story that is 100% connected to why I do what I do. And that's the key. So storytelling in your post through painful experiences, traumatic experiences, even elated experiences, any one of those strong emotions that you that can convert into a story must also be connected to why you do what you do, because that's what people connect to, David. They want to know, oh my God, like she's real, like she's got this soul, she's expressing herself, but I love what she does. It's like, of course she's going to be doing what she does, because there's this all these stories that she shares about her life. And people want to work with people they resonate with. People want to work with people that they can connect with. They don't want to work with people who are vanilla and cold and, you know, prescriptive. They want to work with people who they can connect with at a soul level. So when I'm writing my post, I'm coming from that place of pain and trauma, and I'm using that pain and trauma as my creative outlet.
There's a bunch there that I want to dig deeper into, but I actually want to change gears for a moment and talk about a different post, because this is a different approach, but accomplishing the same end goal, which is ultimately to get somebody to say, oh, I really like what Mary has to say. I want to know more about her, which is pretty much how all of your posts end. And we'll get to there in a moment. But earlier this week, I don't know how long ago you wrote these or if they're recent in your memory, you wrote a post, a photograph of you walking on the beach, and it was a very opinionated opening to the post where you were talking specifically about things that you see in the industry you're serving that you object to, and then asking a question, why isn't the focus in this other place instead, right? So you're to a certain degree, it's not, this isn't the most polarizing, but to a certain degree polarizing intentionally in this post. And I wonder if you can speak to that.
Yes. Well, polarizing posts work extremely well across all social media. And what I like to do is I like to mix up my content. So it's storytelling, polarization, you know, anything that positions me as the industry expert in my area of specialization. So I like to mix them up, because if you just do storytelling, it gets a bit, you know, bland, and people just go, oh, there's the storyteller. So so everything I do is intentional, because what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to show people all different aspects of me. Yes, I have an opinion. Yes, I'm an industry expert. Yes, I'm a storyteller. Yes, I'm a mom, you know, and I've got children. Yes, I've got a business. I want people to get a full picture of me. And also my polarizing posts also show my persona. So, hey, if you're going to work with me, I'm going to be black and white. I'm not a 50 shades of gray sort of a person. So if you want someone that's 50 shades of gray, that's going to tell you what you want to hear, I'm probably not the right choice for you. And I want people to know that right up front, so that they know what they're leading themselves into. But interesting that on those polarizing posts, I can't tell you how many emails or inbox messages I get on those polarizing posts from people saying, I just love that post. I agree with you. Or, you know, it's just funny to me how people always respond to the polarizing post. On Facebook, it's worse. Like, I get even more response. But on Facebook, it's different, because people get so emotional in my polarizing post. And actually, it's fun for me to watch, because I sit back and I think, wow, these people have just, this person here spent like 8 minutes writing a feedback in the comments on my polarizing post, 6 paragraphs deep. Well, who would do that? Like, I just would never do that. But this is what happens in polarizing posts. You're tapping into other people's trauma. They don't even realize that they're actually writing because of their own shadow, darkness, you know, emotional traps, whatever they've got going on inside of them. But could you imagine spending 8 minutes writing a comment in someone's post? I could never imagine doing that ever.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned to you before we hit record, I don't like interacting with people very much. And that's why I don't go out to networking events anymore. Commenting on people's posts is very uncomfortable for me. I want to actually make a reference to what you said a moment ago. I heard you say on LinkedIn, polarizing posts result in people messaging and emailing you. On Facebook, they're commenting. And I think that speaks to the difference between these platforms as well.
That's exactly right. And the other thing I want to mention about LinkedIn, which is a very important point, and I'm glad you brought this up, is what you'll find on LinkedIn is the people that message me on LinkedIn privately, send me a private DM, they are also the same people that will not comment on my post. So they won't publicly post, but they'll privately message me. And the other thing about that, and just as an extension to that, David, is that people, just because your post may not get the vanity metrics, believe you me, those posts have been my best ROIs. So a lot of people will not comment on your post because they just sheerly because they want to be politically correct. They don't want to be seen and heard, whatever it may be, but they will message you privately if they love what they see or what they read. And this is where a lot of misconceptions are with LinkedIn. People are chasing vanity metrics. I have been on the platform for many, many years, created a lot of success, and I can verify that my worst performing posts were my greatest ROI till this day, David.
And I can attest to the fact you've been there many, many years. I looked at your profile and you joined in 2006. Then I went to my profile. I don't remember this because I have no idea why I started a LinkedIn profile in the first place, 2004. So I have you beat by 2 years. Anyway, so we don't have a ton of time to stick with the post stuff, but I do want to talk about one more element that's in your post, because I think this is the key to all of those voyeurs who are not participating, but are consuming. You have something that's very intentionally placed at the end of the posts to sort of tell them, here's what you can do next if you want more from me. Can you talk to that?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that what's the point of posting if it's not going to lead the right people in the right direction? And so here's how I see that. So I always have a call to action at the end of my post, and I'm leading them somewhere, whether it's a masterclass, whether it's, you know, get on a call with me, whether it's DM me, there's always a call to action at the end of all of my posts. Why do I do that? It doesn't mean that people will watch my masterclass and become a client. What happens is that people watch my masterclass, I have their email, and now I can nurture that relationship. And to me, that's me building a pipeline, because, and I've proven this, David, when COVID hit in 2020 and 2021, my business went through the roof. I literally 10x my business. Why? It wasn't because of new leads. It was the leads that I was nurturing the year before and the year before that. And they were ready to work with me at that moment. So this is why having call to actions at the end of a post is not a waste. Just because someone doesn't buy from me today, it doesn't mean that they're not ready for me in 12 months' time. But could you imagine the power that in the next 12 months, they are going to be touched by my emails once a week? And I don't write emails that are junk. Like, I really write heartfelt emails. You know, I try and give value as much as I can because I want to stay top of mind. And this is what we need to understand, especially when you're intentional and branding is on top of mind. This is where one way of making sure that you always stay top of mind off LinkedIn, mm-hmm. off LinkedIn. So we've got to get them off LinkedIn and get them into our environment.
So, and this whole point that the people who were following you for a couple of years, well, you started by talking about the three different aspects of LinkedIn, right? So that's the who. And because you had the who dialed in 2 years ago, you were able to benefit from the fact that there was this, you know, relationship that hadn't been fully realized.
Yes.
As soon as, you know, the pandemic hit or whatever, you know, the moment where it suddenly made sense for them to say, oh, I need Mary now.
That's exactly right. And the thing is that we talk about intentionally connecting with people. A lot of people on LinkedIn, you know, sell this notion that just fulfill the 30,000 connections that LinkedIn give you and then let everyone else become your followers. Well, I disagree with that, because my 30,000 connections are the most sacred thing in my LinkedIn profile. I handpick the people I want to connect with. Anyone can follow me, but I want to make sure that those 30,000 people that connect with me, they get to know me, they get to love me, and eventually not all of them will buy from me, but I want them to talk about me to their network. So this is, again, going back to that word intentional. when we're connecting with people, we have to know why we're connecting with them and how we can add value to them and how they can add value to us. It's got to be a two-way street. It can't just be me giving all the time, because we've got to have that notion of I'm going to give, but I'm also going to receive. And the receiving doesn't mean they're going to become a client. Remember that. The receiving means that they might tell five other people, oh, you want personal branding? You've got to go and see Mary Henderson. She's like the personal branding specialist. That's, you don't know me, but do you know how many emails, or again, inboxes in LinkedIn, where people have sent group messages, John, meet Mary. Mary, meet John. Mary is a specialist in personal branding. I think you guys need to talk. I've never met John. I don't know who John is. I'm connected to John, but John and I have never met one-on-one. But John sees me as the go-to expert for that area of specialization. And now I'm finding myself having a conversation with someone in John's network. That's the power of LinkedIn. And to me, that's networking on steroids without having to leave your home.
Well, I totally appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about one thing, and then I want to move over to your profile before we wrap up.
Yeah.
You talked about how you were very carefully curating those connections.
Yes.
And I know that just like I did, you changed industries during the time that you've been a member of LinkedIn. And so you amassed connections in one industry, but then started working elsewhere. What do you address that in any way?
Well, the thing is that when I started on LinkedIn, I had my own company, which is a software company, and I didn't really have that many connections, to be honest with you, David, back then. I only had about 1,200 connections when I started getting really serious on LinkedIn, which was only 4 or 5 years ago. So I did, in between 2006 and say 2018, 2019, I was not really on LinkedIn. Like my profile was pretty dead. I didn't really use it strategically and deliberately. It wasn't until 2019, I think it was, where I transitioned from being full on Facebook. And then I thought, I've just got to get off Facebook and see if I can apply what I know on Facebook on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, my world just completely changed. But at that point, I also, my software business, I no longer had my software business. I merged that with another company. And in 2015, I started full-time coaching. And so really, I saw my LinkedIn profile as just a clean slate, to be honest. In fact, I actually removed half of those 1,200 connections because they were of no value to me anymore. And then almost started from scratch. So I had 1,000 followers / connections to now 83,000 followers, and I think close to 20,000 connections. But those 20,000 connections have been handpicked. So I don't really address, you know, my past. However, you know, I think that, you know, on our profile, it does allow for, you know, for us to be able to obviously showcase what our past timeline is. Sure. But I think that LinkedIn, you've got to keep it very relevant. It's about what I do now.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting you sort of talk about what you learned on Facebook and then chose to apply to LinkedIn. I think we see this with another person who's very active on LinkedIn these days is a guy named Justin Welsh, who took what he learned in the Twitter space and applied a lot of that to LinkedIn as well. And so it's useful to understand that there's ways to benefit from something outside of the context of LinkedIn and pull it into the space that we're talking about now. You're going in and out of focus for those of us who are watching on YouTube. My solution to that is always turn the camera off and turn it right back on, and usually it focuses. So somebody goes through the post that you have out there, the content.
Yes.
Is interested in learning more. The call to action might be something along the lines of, well, you have several pieces of the call to action, but come over to my profile and see what else I have for you. And thematically, you have a lot of different options there, but things that are very clearly associated with each other and guide people to the next logical step for them. And I wonder if you can talk briefly about the profile page and what you've structured there.
The profile page, I would say, is the most important part of your LinkedIn journey. That actually starts with a profile, David, because that's the first point of contact. If someone will connect with you or I, the first thing they will do is go to your profile and check you out, you know. And so what you say in your profile, your about section, is so critical, because if people don't connect with you at that point, they will not connect with you at all. And so that's the first thing. The other thing is that we have to treat that about section as a way of connecting with our target audience. So when someone comes to my my profile page, I want them to feel like we've already started a conversation. I'm not pushing how good I am. It's not about me, me, me. Actually, it's about them. And so that's, and I think that, and remember, people do search for your area of specialization. So if you come up in the search results and they click on your profile and you've got no header image, you've got no a professional photo, your about section is 10 years old, you know, your timeline is not up to date, you don't have referrals on there, do you think you're going to be believable versus the person that they click on next, where they've got a beautiful header image, they've got their photograph, everything's polished? You're going to be believable and trustable in the first 5-10 seconds. So first impressions on LinkedIn matter immensely, and it starts with a profile.
I love the fact that you said it's not about you, the subject of the profile, but it's about them. And then as I go to the about section and I open it up to sort of read what you have written there,
yes,
you may know what I'm about to say next. The yes. First three sentences all start with your or you or you've. And it really, I think, sucks somebody into the, that's me. I'm, yes. Wow, she really gets me. I'm in the right place. And
that's,
I think that's,
correct.
Yeah, really effective at getting somebody to stick around and want to know, okay, well, you get me. How what else can you do for me?
And the other thing is, this is why the header image is also very important as well, David. You know, like, you want people to be able to just figure out in like the first 10 seconds, oh, she's got a strategy, she's got a system, she's got something in place that can help me get from A to where I want to get to. That's the whole idea of creating visuals.
Yep.
Is it's your billboard. It's, you know, you've been in theater, you understand the power of, you know, billboard, or as we laughed before, being on the, you know, in Times Square, like the power of a billboard is massive.
Yep.
So we need to think like that on LinkedIn as well.
And I love the systemization that is diagrammed out in your header.
Yes.
You then have several different options that someone can pursue. The ultimate one, I think, is to book a call with you, right?
To
so that you can actually dig into what they're dealing with in their situation and see if you might be a good fit for them. But you have some other options if somebody's not quite ready to get on the phone or Zoom with you as well.
Well, I think that we should all, as business owners, be able to give people a taste of what it's like to work with us or how we think. That's my whole, that's my reason for creating all of those options. So if people don't want to get on a call with me for whatever reason, then I've got other options. Hey, what about this masterclass? What about this one? Have you thought about this one? And I like to give people options because it means that everyone's different. Everyone has different needs. But typically, people that work with me, they all go through my masterclasses, one or two, before they get on a call with me, because if they like what they hear and they connect with my conviction, then I've already sold them. They're already sold. By the time they get on the call with me, it's like, I already know I want to work with you. So there's no selling involved. So the masterclasses for me do the heavy lifting without me having to do the selling, so to speak.
So in a moment, we're actually going to share access to one of those trainings, those programs,
yes,
that you're referring to. But before we do, I want to just remind folks the type of client you tend to focus on and work with the most.
Anyone that self-identifies as an industry expert, service-based businesses who are thinking of merging their knowledge, wisdom, and skills into an online program. That's huge at the moment. And also anyone that's just wanting to transition into coaching and consulting and wanting an end-to-end solution from brand to systemizing their knowledge, wisdom, and skills, building up their digital assets, and most importantly, wrapping a layered lead generation strategy around it. So anyone that's, as I said, self-identifies as an industry expert, you are my tribe.
And the layered lead generation is what we've been talking about for the last half hour. You have something called the 30-Day Authority Accelerator. What is that and how can people access it?
That is a free course that I created and it's got five videos. It's so awesome. And it's anyone that's really thinking about positioning themselves as an authority. It's www.30dayauthorityaccelerator.com. And there's five videos there. It's so much value packed in that and it's all for free.
Excellent. And that is 30, the numbers, followed by dayauthorityaccelerator.com. We'll also have a link to that, as well as your LinkedIn profile and other goodies in the show notes. Mary Henderson, thank you so much for hanging out with me. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, David. I had a great time. Thank you.
As did I. Folks, if you know somebody who can benefit from listening to this episode, please share it with them. In the meantime, my name is David Baer, and you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Hope to see you back here again soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.